If you are listening to this podcast right now, I want you to take a second and look down. When was the last time you shaved your junk? It's been a while, don't lie. Let's take a second to thank our sponsor, Manscaped, for holding you accountable to get rid of that funk and shave your junk. Manscaped is the only men's brand dedicated to below-the-waist grooming and hygiene. A lot of our viewers have reached out, listeners, I guess, and actually at our tailgate, I mean, it was like the number one topic, how the Manscaped products were a game changer. I'm just telling you right now, they sent us a package, three full packages of their new 3.0 Perfect Package, and it is a game changer. It's a must order, must check out, highly encourage. I can't say it enough. Manscaped is forever changing the grooming game with their Perfect Package 3.0 Essentials Kit. It's the perfect tools for your family jewels. The Perfect Package 3.0 kit comes with the new and improved Lawnmower 3.0, waterproof, cordless body trimmer, and a ton of other liquid formulations to round out your manscaping routine. This third generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to prevent manscaping accidents. Millions of balls are about to be nick-free thanks to Manscaped's advanced skin-safe technology. And of course, let's not forget about the Crop Preserver, an anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer. You already put deodorant on your armpits, right? So why are you not putting deodorant on the smelliest part of your body? When you purchase the new Perfect Package 3.0 kit at manscaped.com, you get the biggest bang for your buck. Subscribers get a new replacement blade refill for your lawnmower trimmer delivered to your door every 3 months. Make sure your trimmer always stays fresh and clean. For a limited time, subscribers get not one, but two free gifts. The Shed Travel Bag, a $39 value, and the patented high-performance anti-chafing Manscaped Boxer Briefs. This is the perfect package for your perfect package. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code MENACE at manscaped.com. Do yourself a favor and always use the right tools for the job. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code MENACE at manscaped.com. You heard it right. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code MENACE. Your partner, your body, and your balls will thank you. It is Thursday, March 19th for Patreon subscribers, and it is Friday, March 20th for the rest of yous. Thank you for tuning in, Menace of Sports. I am Zach Smith. Really excited about today's episode. So what I decided to do is kind of hit you with some football episodes just to talk about coaching. I know that a lot of the feedback I've gotten is that the audience loves when I talk very at a high level about football, the craft, the art form, the science that is playing receiver, playing quarterback. And so I want to take some of the time in this offseason to do what I'm calling football PhD episodes. And so I'm bringing in Greg Fry, played at a very high level, obviously at Ohio State, starter, close family friend, and I've leaned on him my entire career to talk a lot about, you know, just the craft of football. He's a quarterback guy, quarterback coach. He trains quarterbacks, high school quarterbacks, and really, really has a passion for the art of playing quarterback. And so I wanted to talk to him to talk about a topic that I am really, really into. And you guys know I talked about it all season when it comes to receiver play, and that was hand dominance and eye dominance, and what is, I guess, referred to as ocular dominance, which is what he brought to me. That's the medical term. I'm a football coach. I certainly just eye dominance and hand dominance is what it was to me. So we're gonna have a real deep conversation about it, and I want to just get your feedback. So what I would like you to do is hit us up, whether it's on social media to promote this show or this episode, or if it's just sliding in the DMs or shooting an email. Let me know what you think about this episode, because I want to expand on this and do more of this, along with the other stuff that we've been doing, some of the great interviews, some of the kind of relevant current event topics. I want to talk more about coaching football and the game itself, the actual game of football. So I'm excited about it. Also, Patreon subscribers, if you missed it, we put out the Menace in the Morning episode already with Curtis Grant, and then we'll have a locked up episode coming in the next day or two. So just trying to overload you with content, give you as much Menace to Sports as you can handle. So appreciate you bearing with me while we after the complete lockdown in Columbus. I volunteered at two different restaurants, and I've reached out to a couple more. I'm trying to help local businesses. So I volunteered at, like, one of them was at the Bogey Inn in Dublin. For those of you that don't know, I volunteered to do some deliveries, promoted them on social media. They quadrupled their sales from the day before. So I really appreciate those that order from them and help support their business. I know the owner and the GM, and they're awesome dudes. And a lot of people that are without income right now. So if people have the ability to order carry out from a local establishment, they are able to employ servers and bartenders and cooks. The servers can become delivery people, and they can try to patch through this tough time as a nation and keep them on their feet. And I know I was able to help, so I did. And I would ask everyone to do the same, right? Be kind when you can. So really excited about this episode, but enough about me, enough about the Patreon, enough about that stuff. Let's get to the show.
That's why I don't read the newspaper, because it's garbage. And the editor that let it come out is garbage.
Or do you do what everybody else in the media does, just create some shit and throw it on the wall and see what sticks, which is what I see happening everywhere.
Where are we at in society today? I'm a man. I'm 40.
When my time on Earth is gone, and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
All right, we are in studio on Menace to Sports, and we are welcoming back a good friend of ours, good friend of mine, Greg Fry. Greg, thanks for joining us.
Glad to be here again, Zach.
Really excited about today's conversation. So this episode is going to be an episode of kind of a new, I haven't even told you this, Greg, it's kind of a new, I don't know, category of episodes I'm going to do, just getting more in depth about coaching. I have a lot of coaches that listen to the show, a lot of football. And you know what's funny? I didn't realize this when I started this, but I feel like sometimes I get too technical, and even people that aren't coaches, just are fans, are like, no, I love that shit. Like, be really technical. Like, that's what makes it different. So I'm going to start doing more kind of higher level coaching episodes. I thought this is the perfect topic, and you're the perfect guest to kind of kick that off because of our conversations about ocular dominance, right?
Say it again.
Ocular dominance, right? And so you're going to bring this from a quarterback's perspective, and I'll give you my thoughts from a receiver's perspective. And I think I know it applies to every position.
Absolutely.
And so
not in just football either, by the way.
No. In it's in every sport, right?
Correct.
I mean, it really is. And it's funny because I didn't, before our conversations, I knew it, but it really didn't, my mind wasn't open to it yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I see it. I'm talking youth sports. Mm-hmm. I talked to my son's baseball coach about it, like eye control. You watch a kid's eyes, never mind dominance, just eyes in general, where his pupils are pointing.
Yes.
It's the most under-talked about and under-trained thing in athletics at every level.
Totally.
So talk to me about ocular dominance.
Jeez. Well, it's we're going to get a little technical here, I think. And this is something that as a quarterback trainer, you know, so if you know my background, I played a position at Ohio State. I played, you know, I had a cup of coffee professionally in the World Football League, Arena Football. And I've been in the broadcasting booth for 30 plus years collegiately and also high school. So I've seen a lot of games. But really where I've noticed this is training young quarterbacks. And I've been doing this for 25 plus years, you know, back to when Brady Quinn, you know, it was my early years of training quarterbacks, you know, which would be your high school age. And I began to notice trends. And when I train young quarterbacks, most of the time I'm catching the ball. You know, a lot of guys want to bring their own guys. I'm like, that's fine. But what I've learned is I see better
for sure
catching the ball.
I see
their mechanics. And it helps me, you know, and I rotate sometimes. I'll go behind them, but I can see so much because I'm watching ball flight. I'm watching the position of their left leg. I see all of it. And I've seen enough throws. Like, you know how it is as a coach. The more reps you see, you kind of see it in slow motion.
Yeah, for sure.
So it was probably 12 years or so ago, and I remember the day I had about four or five of my young quarterbacks out throwing a football, and I started to notice a trend because we were running crossing routes. And right-handed quarterbacks with crossing routes from right to left, including me. I was throwing the routes too because I was hopping in having some fun, right? I like to throw the routes.
Yeah, right.
And from right to left, nobody missed.
Huh.
Left to right, we're about 50%.
Huh.
And they're missing high and right. Some are missing behind, mostly wide to the right on left to right throws.
Right.
So
now you're talking a receiver. I'm a quarterback. The receiver is aligned to my left, right? So if I'm standing there as a quarterback, the receiver is on my left running a drag or a slant or something.
To the right.
To the right.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And especially, and again, here's where it gets a little complicated. To the right side of the field, it's worse.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. If he's on the left side, it's not as bad. Yeah. But the minute he crosses over to the right side of the field.
Like a cross or like a crossing route.
Yes.
Gotcha.
And the minute he gets to the right side of the field, you get there's a problem area. Like there's a hot spot. I mean, I can look at it.
Like a blind zone.
It's like a blind zone where, yeah. I mean, almost every quarterback I have, it's a blind spot.
Hmm.
And they struggle to be there. And what I found, I didn't recognize it that day. I noticed the trend that day. And I have pictures from that day. Like I remember it vividly.
Yeah.
And then I started noticing it, right? So it's really, in the last couple years, it became more and more apparent to me. And I began to train my quarterbacks to help them understand. And I began to ask, what's your dominant eye?
Yeah.
So I would, and that's kind of easy, right? Yeah, I can ask what's your dominant arm. We kind of know what that one is. That's kind of an obvious one.
Fairly easy
to better figure that out, right?
Right.
But when you start understanding their dominant eye, then I started connecting the dots. Because when I look at this whole thing, it's like gravity. You don't see gravity, but it's there.
Yeah,
and it
right.
affects everything you do, especially right. when you got a ball in the air, right? It's going to yeah. come back to the ground because right. of gravity. But you don't see it. Ocular dominance affects anytime there's a moving target. I don't care if it's football, whatever sport, I believe, right? I'm not the expert in this yet, but I've studied enough. I know a lot. It affects your alignment because of how your eyes look at the target
yeah.
and how your body adjusts. So this is like right in front of me, and it has been right in front of me for a long time, and I finally see it now. What I found is when I talk to players, coaches, they look at me sideways like, huh? Until I show them.
I'm telling you. I think I told you this before. I was training it. I didn't know I was.
Yes.
I was working.
You felt it like intrinsically, like you knew
and,
it was there.
And don't get me wrong. The receiver position is different than the quarterback position. I was training left and right sides, whether it be hand dominance, eye dominance. I just knew that your left half of your body needed to be trained separately from your right.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't really get into it this scientifically, which is what's so cool about this. But I used to have my receivers do a test, and I actually did it right before you got here, where I would have them make a triangle with their hands,
okay.
put it just probably about 6 inches in front of their nose,
okay.
make sure it's centered,
yes.
and look at a doorknob.
Okay.
And then when you close your left eye or your right eye, whichever your dominant eye is, you'll still see the doorknob.
Correct.
And whichever one is not your dominant eye, your hand will block it.
Correct.
It's wild.
Yeah.
Because I was doing it with this microphone right here before you locked in. And
right.
My right eye, I could see the microphone in the triangle. Right. My left eye, all right. I could see was hand.
Right.
It was wild.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, to that point, so every quarterback that I work with now, for one of the first couple sessions, we address this.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've evolved with this, right? I determine which is the dominant eye, and then I do a test. And typically, before I do the test, I already know.
Yeah.
Because if I throw any balls to them, I can see it already.
Yeah.
And it's getting fun now because I'll have whether it's the dad or me, sometimes the coaches are coming out now.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you need to stand behind me and watch this. So what I do is I become the moving target. I become the receiver. And I ask the quarterbacks to adjust to me. So the baseline here is the quarterbacks – should have their feet lined up at me at the target.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when they step, it's different. When they step, I teach their left foot opens up.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to open up your hips properly, which is, you know, every quarterback at any level that's has success understands how to do that to some extent.
Yeah.
Because you got to open the hips properly. But before you step, your feet, in my opinion, should be lined up at the target.
Right.
Because it makes what I found is proper alignment, right? If you're lined up properly, you will not miss as a quarterback.
No.
You're not going to miss.
Right.
These guys are all athletic. They have great eye-hand coordination. But I got to help them get lined up better.
That's it.
And when I show them how far they're off, so I started tracking this, right? I started tracking, and I did two tests, left to right and right to left. Just kind of simple. And what I would do in the first session or so is I would have them track me, and they'd be off. And I would stop, and I'd ask them to freeze. And then I'd mark where they were lined up. Like if I'm pointing at you right now,
yeah,
and they're lined up, you know, to your left,
yeah.
I'd mark that spot based on where I'm at, and then I'd measure it,
yeah,
and I get a you know 13 feet, 15 feet, 20 feet,
right,
25 feet,
yeah,
and then we do it the other way, and typically if they're right eye dominant, you know they're gonna be missing more on one side. Most times it's to the right,
yeah,
believe it or not, on the right side of the field from right to left. So I would add those two numbers up. Now I'm starting to get some data that's starting to align. And I would say right now, 26, 28 feet is the number that they're off of alignment. That's a lot.
Yeah, that's a lot.
That's a lot. And some guys are off 25 feet to one side.
It's crazy. So basically, so this is eye dominance. Tell me if I understand it correctly. So if you took laser pointers, right, and pointed them from both of your pupils, if you're right eye dominant, that, I guess, where they would intersect is slightly to the right a little bit. Is that correct?
Well, I don't know that yet. That's the thing. See, you're getting ahead of me because I don't know.
Yeah.
What I know is that the eye dominance is like a gravitational pull.
Right.
It pulls their lower body.
Well, it's what happens when you do my triangle test. I'm telling you, that microphone moves one way. It's
correct.
It looks like a gravitational pull.
So, and again, for those of you listening, this is, you know, we don't have this all figured out. Because what Zach just asked me, I want to know where their eyes are looking.
Right.
But they think they're lined up to me is my point.
Yeah.
And this I know. They think they're lined up to me. And when I show them where they're at, it blows their mind. Like, they can't believe it.
It's wild because I've talked – so during the season – and you and I talked about this during the season. I don't claim to be an expert in quarterback play. Obviously, that's why you're on. But I am an expert in receiver play.
Yes.
I've spent 15 years studying every detail about it. And I talked – I think I revealed a lot of things that people don't talk about receiver play this season, about just catch percentages on certain sides of the field, why that is. I talked a lot about what hand stops the ball, which I think is really big. But then I just before this episode, I really wanted to do some study. So here's the first one is Chris Olave was the biggest example this year that I talked about all season. And he ended the year 0-for-5 when he's on the quarterback's left side on a deep ball and 4-of-6 on the right. Like, he's a deep ball receiver.
And for those of you listening, you know, Zach and I were talking about this as that was progressing throughout the season. And Michigan game was one of big drops.
Oh, yeah.
Hit him in the face mask.
Yeah.
Right? And this is the kid that's probably going to be playing on Sundays.
For sure.
Right? I mean, he's really good.
Really good.
And yet, in the Michigan game, a ball hits him in the face mask. So when that happens, I ask the question, how does that happen?
Yeah.
Anyway, I didn't mean to steal your thought.
Well, no, it's just that's what really kind of piqued my interest in it even more. And then you and I talked about it, and it's now it's off the charts. And so I looked at, all right, you look at Jamar Chase, and I'm going to let you talk about the article that you sent me.
Yes.
But Jamar Chase, right, wins the Biletnikoff, like the best receiver in the world in college football this year.
For LSU.
And so I go look at his numbers, and his numbers are staggering, just like Chris Olave. Now, he's not Ofer, but right. He's 46% on the left,
okay.
82% on the right.
That's staggering.
You're talking about, what is that, almost 40% difference.
Staggering.
And it's no different in the NFL. Odell Beckham Jr., Cleveland's Cleveland's son now,
yes.
0-for-10 on the left.
So just a quick question.
Yeah.
Is, in your opinion, how much of that is arm dominance, do you think, versus eye dominance? Or is it a factor of both?
I'm with you. I don't know enough about eye dominance. I know that in my studying the craft of receiver play, mm-hmm. that hand dominance was all my focus. Mm-hmm. It was as much of you know, what hand is stopping the ball on a deep ball to what mm-hmm. hand is up top on a crossing route.
Yes.
It comes from conversation, because some players say, I'm so much more comfortable with my right hand on top or my left hand stopping the ball. And it's like KJ Hill is the opposite of Chris Olave.
Really?
Complete opposite. 86% on the left, okay. 36% on the right.
Huh?
Complete opposite. And so you look
and
at it.
He's right-handed?
Yeah. And so you look at it and you're like, all right, it's not entirely hand dominance. It's not entirely which is your strong hand or your righting hand. This is a – but the statistics are – I mean, it's obvious. There is some factors here that affect the performance.
And that's where I'd love to know what their dominant eyes are.
Yep. For sure. And I think it's something that anyone that coaches football needs to – research and just do simple tests and try to figure it out. And then the biggest, I guess, analytic thing you can do is just chart a receiver, where he drops balls. Why does he drop them?
Right.
And then train it.
Yes.
And I go back to Michael Thomas is led the NFL in deep ball reception percentage, right? He caught a deep ball when it was thrown to him 88% of the time. Number one in the NFL.
By and I'm curious by how far. Like, what percentage? I mean,
that's a great question. I'm going to look it up right
now.
Because
that's ridiculous.
Like, really far.
I mean, obviously, he's really good.
He is really good. So so you had Kenny Stills had 75%.
Okay.
So 12.5% better. But, I mean, it's a quick drop-off. Like, the top 10 starts at 58%, and he's at 88%.
Incredible.
But he's the one that he opened my eyes to ocular dominance. And, like I was telling you before, I didn't even know he was – we didn't know what we were doing. We just knew we were training sides of the body.
I see.
But he would come in and we would do a session on the jugs or even with quarterbacks, and he would put an eye patch on his left eye.
Okay.
So he's going to train his right eye the first 15 minutes on these routes. Then he switches the patch and trains his left eye. And all he's doing is training how accurate that singular eye can track a football to his hand. And it's like, and when I've told people on the show how different Michael Thomas is, he's different. Like, and people that, players that want to be great, players that want to have a $100 million contract as a receiver, they don't understand what that means. Yes. They really don't.
Yeah.
But he blew my mind, one, with how into it he got, but then he started, he passed me. I mean, he was doing stuff. I'm like, holy shit, look at this. And then we dive into it together. And I mean, he leads the NFL because of it.
Student of the game.
Student of the
game. True student of the game.
I mean, almost a professor of the game.
Yes.
It's wild.
Yeah, he's got a PhD.
That's for sure. But it goes all through the NFL. You can name the top five deep ball receivers in the NFL. Kenny Galladay at Detroit, Stephon Diggs, Davante Adams, Tyreek Hill. You name one. Every single one has staggering statistics. I mean, Davante Adams, 30% to his left, 73% to his right.
Oh.
Tyreek Hill, 40% to his left, 78% to his right. I mean, it's insane. It truly is insane.
That blows my mind.
Yeah, it's
I mean, wild. I get it. I understand that. And that, again, that's the, you know, the question is, why is that? You know, is eye dominance, how much of a factor is eye dominance in that conversation?
It's definitely some. It's definitely some. And all the stuff that I've read about the obvious parallel, or not parallel, the obvious expert kind of sport would be like archery. Anything with shooting a gun, right? Yes. You really need, your eyes are everything, right? Yes. And so everything I've read talks about archery and talks about shooting a rifle and a gun. And what I read, 70% of the population are right eye dominant, 29% are left eye dominant, and 1% are neither, are balanced.
And I heard that today. It's called bilateral.
Bilateral.
I learned that today. It's bilateral. Your eyes operate equally. Wow. I didn't know that until today.
It sounds like 1%. That's
1%.
Like, I mean, that's a small number.
Yeah, and I can tell you from my quarterbacks that I've trained, the ones that I've really evaluated, I've only found one that's right hand and left eye dominant.
Wow.
One.
Wow.
One.
I'm right eye dominant. According to my non-scientific test, my triangle test, but it's staggering when I do the test. The microphone completely disappears with my left eye open, and it's right there with my right eye open. So I know I am.
Right.
It's just crazy. So tell me this, without spending too much time on it, can it be trained, or have you in the quarterbacks you train, do you see a difference? Do you see development in with this in mind? You know what I mean? Can you do different drills? Can you do things to improve?
Absolutely.
Those blind spots?
Absolutely. And I'm not going to get into too much detail here because obviously I want to get to,
right. It's your world.
This is the value that I'm adding, right?
So
I want kids to come see me, and I really have a passion now. I mean, I want every kid in the state of Ohio that's playing high school and college for that matter.
I'm telling you, and I'm tell you right now, and NFL. You could go ahead and throw it in there.
It blows my mind that, you know, my guess is in the NFL. Like, my guess would be, and I want to get, and I'm putting this out there, I want to get an NFL quarterback to work with.
Yeah.
Because I still think there's holes in their game that they don't know about. My guess would be at that high level, they've probably covered it up a lot because they're just so good and they practice so much. But my, you know, if I can show a guy like that, hey, you're off 4 feet. Isn't everybody at that point looking for an edge?
Oh, everybody.
Yeah. Right? So to answer your question, yes, I've evolved and created a couple drills, one in particular that really is working well.
Yeah.
And it helps them, number one, create an awareness that, okay, yeah, you're off. And then we've got to override what their eyes have been telling their lower body for a long time. And that doesn't, you don't do that overnight.
No.
You're starting to talk about, you know, the connection between your eyes and your brain muscle memory.
Yeah.
Because there's got to be the proper connection between your eyes and your lower body. If your feet are not aligned properly, you got a problem.
Yeah,
and unless you're really good, you know who's the best at that as far as overriding that yeah. I've seen.
Who's that?
Tom Brady.
Yeah,
because his feet aren't quick.
Yeah,
and when he's lined up, he's money. Of course,
he's
deadly accurate. But he also, when his feet aren't lined up, he overrides with his upper body as good as anybody I've seen.
That's wild.
Because he gets, his legs are like pretzel, and you know how fast the pocket collapses in the NFL, and instinctively and intuitively he knows that, and yet he overrides it because he has additional rotation with his upper body.
Mm-hmm.
So his feet can be pretzeled, if I like to say it, and yet he still makes a throw. Yeah. And I've watched him make throws like that in big games that just blow my mind. He just knows that he can't set his feet.
The guy that blows my mind, Tom Brady does for sure, but some of the stuff Patrick Mahomes does, and they slow it down, and it's like he's looking at a defender and makes a pinpoint accurate throw without his eyes ever going anywhere.
Timeout. He's an alien.
He's
not helping me.
No, he's not. But he's not helping anyone. I used to say that about Percy Harvin. He would do some things, and I would look at other receivers like, don't try to do that, please. And just
again,
don't.
For those of you listening, I have mad respect for the guy. He is an unbelievable athlete. From a quarterback standpoint, from a guy that trains quarterbacks that are trying to get young quarterbacks to be fundamentally sound, you can't train that.
No.
And I'm going to say this because I watch a lot of quarterback training on Instagram, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of guys that are trying to coach that.
It's stupid.
And I'm like, why? Yeah. You know, why? Okay, why should I be able to like look to my right, throw to my left? I mean, that's great in backyard.
Right.
Who's going to do that? Unless you're Patrick Mahomes. If I get a kid that talented, great. Great.
Right.
If you're an all-pro, and my rule is if you're an all-pro or an all-American, great. You can take a hand off the ball. You can be lax with your fundamentals. I don't care because you've proven it.
And it's just like Steph Curry. Some of the shots he takes, you would look at a high school basketball player and say, you idiot, don't ever take that shot ever again like that.
And yet I watched a couple games last weekend. I took my – not 2 weekends ago when we still could.
Right, when we were allowed.
And I saw 3 or 4 high school ones or twos, shooting those – bombs, right?
Yeah.
And there was only one kid, the Selinger kid from Worthington, that could do that.
Right.
Halfway effectively. But that's the effect he's had on the game. Another story. But,
no doubt.
But Patrick Mahomes, the effect he's having on young quarterbacks is not all great. And I'm watching quarterback coaches, and as a coach, right? I'm like, why are you guys teaching this? Yeah. How about we coach these kids to be fundamentally sound?
Start there, right?
Because if you can get them fundamentally sound, then you can spend some time, maybe 10 minutes in your practice, doing the goofy stuff.
That's what I've always said is let's get you concrete foundation of fundamentals, and then we can work on the cute stuff. Like receivers always want to work on one-handed catches. I'm like, there's a time for that.
Right.
There is.
You know?
But if you can't catch a simple reception angle, a simple distraction drill. If you can't do that effectively, why are we working on one-handed catches?
I'm flashing back now.
I'm flashing back
to Coach Bruce, right?
Oh, man.
Because there was one guy that was allowed to do that in practices when I was there. You want to guess who that was?
Ooh, when you were there, Chris Carter had to be.
Chris Carter.
Right.
He did it all the time in practice. If anybody else tried it, They would be undressed. Thank you.
I can only imagine.
F-bomb followed by F-bomb, and then he'd undress the coach that was coaching him.
Oh,
right?
Certainly.
And if CC did it, nothing was said. You know why? Because he knew he could do it in a game.
Yeah, right.
Chris knew he could do it in a game.
No doubt.
And he did it. And, see, flashback time. He did it to me in practice one time. I was – you mind?
No. Go ahead.
So you can get me off track here. But this was my freshman year, and I was running with the twos at the time, 7-on-7. So, and with a little bit of the one. So I'm in a 7-on-7, and Chris is running a dig, and I'm going against the one defense. So you imagine Chris Spielman, William White.
Oh, God. Yeah.
I mean, just, and the speed of that was crazy. So the dig came open, and, being a freshman, I'm a little bit late, right? And I had a pretty savvy offense in high school, so I knew the window was there.
Yeah, right.
But still late to get it there.
Yes.
So I throw it behind him. Right, so he does a little pirouette.
Yeah,
like he goes up off the ground and just spins, catches it with his left arm, one handed, while he's spinning in the air, and the whole defense freezes and watches him.
Yeah,
they all froze.
Yep,
they're like, "What the?" And he caught it in a pirouette, landed, and ran right through everybody because they all froze.
Yep,
and I'm sitting there with my jaw dropped, like, oh, I haven't seen that before.
No,
and he did stuff every day.
Every day.
Anyway.
Well, I would tell you, so Chris Carter was one, Michael Thomas is the other, and there's other, Terry McLaurin is a great example of a guy that really understands the position, the receiver position, but Chris Carter brought Mike Thomas hand yoga, and I talked about it because Mike Thomas, here's a great stat for you, he had, I don't have it in front of me, he had 8.25 inch hand at the combine,
okay,
and had an 8.5 inch hand at pro day. He added 1/4 inch to his hand, and the question is, how the hell do you add 1/4 inch to your hand?
Okay.
It was this hand yoga stuff that Chris Carter had came and talked to me about,
okay.
And it's all these hand stretches because they measure from your point of your thumb to the point of your pinky.
Yes.
Well, if your thumb is more flexible and points down more, Chris Carter's is gross. Like when he points his thumb, it's almost pointing down.
Which makes that number larger.
Right.
That makes sense. So you're having flexibility, hand larger, right?
And and he used to say it's how you get more surface area on the ball. But I think the receiver.
Makes sense.
I think every position is so is coached with very basic fundamentals. But things like hand yoga, things like ocular dominance, things like hand dominance in receiver play is not talked about at all. Right. And when the best players in the NFL, the total of all the guys I studied, I think I studied six NFL. I took Mike out of this because I know Mike trains it, because him and I mean, this is 2016. We talked about it. So 4 years ago, he was training it.
Yes.
I took Mike out of it. The other five or six NFL receivers, these are the best of the best. 25% to their left, 65% to their right. There's a 40% differential from right to left. Why is that? And that you can't just say it's because they're right-handed. Like at some,
I shouldn't say it blows my mind, but at that level, right? You know,
that's what I mean. So there's an issue, yes. Right? There is a deficiency.
Yes.
And people have to know about it before they can even think about how to or what to do to train to fix it.
Wow.
Wild.
So I want to talk about this article,
yeah,
because I've been researching this, and I think you made the point that when I started looking at this online, mm-hmm, I expected to see stuff, information.
Yeah.
And what I found, there's so much on with guns and shooting.
So much.
And shooting clays and shooting professionally. Yep. And I've talked to a number of experts in that area. Mm-hmm. I got a good friend in Illinois. He's a farmer, but he's a great shot. Mm-hmm. And he started talking to me about how eye dominance affects his shooting. Mm-hmm. And he translated that to softball. He's a great softball coach, girl softball coach. And it was fascinating listening to him. And he talked about how a lot of cases where he had to teach the eyes. He says that the head and the eyes were disconnected.
Yeah.
Like the eyes would go, but the head wouldn't go. And he had to get them both going.
Yeah, right.
To be more accurate with the shot. So I've talked to somebody like that. I've talked to a Secret Service agent.
Oh, that's a great one.
Yeah. And I mean, of course he knew, right? Because they shoot, right?
Yeah.
I talked to a Cincinnati police officer, my friend Jeff Butler, and same thing, you know, because they have to practice, obviously, with targets. And,
yeah.
And you know, when you get into shooting, and again, I'm a novice shooter, but I've done it enough to really understand that there's a challenge to it. You know, do you close one eye? You know, you see certain experts say don't close an eye.
Yeah, right.
Right? But some of the ones I've talked to said absolutely close an eye.
Yeah.
So I found a lot of research about that. There's research in regards to basketball shooters. Mm-hmm. This made total sense to me. If you're right-handed and right-eye dominant, you want to line up your right hand with your right eye
right. With
the basket.
Right.
That kind of makes sense, right?
Yep.
And have you ever noticed there's some funky shots out there where, like, if they're right-handed and they bring their right hand over, like, near their left eye?
Yeah.
And you're like, why are they shooting like that?
They're left eye dominant.
Well, now it makes sense.
Yeah,
it right?
makes complete sense.
So the one video I watched, the guy was like, listen, you know, if you're left eye dominant, you don't want to bring it that far over because it really, you know, you get a funky hand with your right arm.
Yeah.
You want to at least bring it to your nose. So you get closer to being lined up.
Yeah.
But I remember there was a guy that played for St. Xavier High School in basketball. I remember he shot like that. And I always thought, why does he do that?
Right.
You know, so 40 years later, I'm like, I get it.
Yeah, right.
I get it now. Right. It was comfortable to him because he wanted the basket lined up with his dominant eye. I bet you he couldn't verbalize that.
No way. No chance.
He just did it.
Yep.
Right? So my point is, I started researching this and I found zero.
Nothing.
About football. Nothing.
Nothing.
Blew my mind. Until a couple days ago.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of putting eye dominance in, of course, I got smart. And or at least smarter. And I put in ocular dominance and I found one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what's really cool. As there was a college, we'll say who this was, right?
Yeah.
There was a college football team after the 2018 season, and it came from their applied sciences program. Mm. And what they did was they analyzed all the receiver catches from the year before, from 2018.
Right.
And they started to notice a few trends. Hello, right?
Right.
And there was another gentleman that was involved who was from the University of Florida. He has his own company. In regards, his company is called Python Optics. His name is Mike Mann, and he had a relationship with this university, with this gentleman from the Applied Sciences program, and they collectively tapped into this university with the receivers. Now it bled over to the defense.
Well, of course it did. Of course it did.
Because the defensive coaches were like, "Well, wait a minute here. You know, again, I'm piecing this together, but it did bleed over to the defense." So they did this all in preparation for the 2019 season,
yeah,
right? So this team has a great year. Now, for a lot of reasons, they had a great year. Mm-hmm. But one little edge that they had that, again, nobody else is doing is what we're talking about, ocular dominance. Yeah. Now, drum roll, please. Anybody listening want to guess which program in Division I college football did this leading up to the 2019 season? Anybody take a stab, right? Well, what are you thinking about it?
If I got to pick a passing offense, I know which one. And a freak show at receiver, by the way.
Correct. And it was?
LSU.
The LSU Tigers.
Yep.
Right? So the LSU Applied Sciences Program, the gentleman there, his name was Nathan Lemion, I believe, worked in conjunction with Mike Mann. And so as I read this, it just, I mean, I'm like drooling. So here's the irony, though, is they talk about the receivers and the defense.
Mm-hmm.
And I will tell you that I've been spreading the word about this more and more. 3 weeks ago, I met with the coaches from St. Xavier High School.
Yeah.
Steve Specht is a good friend of mine. We played together. We were captains together. He's a great high school head coach. They've won a couple state championships under his tenure, I think three. He just hired a new offense coordinator last year, who is one of the best coordinators in high school that I know, period. Came from Trinity in Louisville. And he has probably his 8 or 9 state championships. Have you ever met this guy?
Is it Coverdale?
It's Coverdale.
He is, yes.
Andrew Coverdale.
Yep.
Like he's, and I say this with respect. I mean, I really like Andrew. He's like a mad scientist.
No, he is. He absolutely is.
I went and watched the practice last year, and I've never seen a quarterback be coached the way that he coached him.
He was probably one of the few high school coaches that I got on the board with him, and I was like, holy shit. Like, I feel like I got Tom Brady sitting here. I got to really prepare for this.
Right.
So, I mean, just blew my mind.
I watched them last fall. I mean, I you know, when I have time doing my broadcasting, right, I like to go watch practice when I can.
Right.
And I their practice is like a college practice. It is. And I've been to Ohio State practice, right?
Yeah.
I've seen everybody practice, but I've not seen a high school practice like they do. It's a college atmosphere.
Yeah.
They get more reps. There's no sitting around. Those kids are, they're pushed.
Yeah.
Mentally. More mentally than physically, frankly.
Right.
So I sat with these two and I said, have you guys heard of this? And the answer was no.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, there's 11 or 12 state championships between them. So the point is, I explained that to them. And I said, look, I want to help you guys, you know. And so Andrew texts me a week ago. He says, I'm at a clinic and Ed Orgeron is talking about eye dominance.
Yep.
With his defensive lineman.
Imagine that.
Really?
Like of all positions.
and
well, he's a D-line guy. It makes sense.
You know, I talked to Coach Beck. I said, wouldn't it help you if your corners knew, if you knew what your corners, what their dominant eye was? He goes, well, they can't catch anyway. I said, well, that's not the point.
No.
It's where they're looking, right? It's
vision.
It's where they're, what they can see.
Greg Schiano said it all the time. That was his biggest coaching point in football was eye control. Where are your eyes? Constantly. Where are your eyes? Where are your eyes? Just nonstop. And I think it's the most important and under-discussed and under-coached thing in athletics, all sports.
Totally, totally. So back to the article, back to LSU. They applied it. It made a lot of sense for the receivers. And ironically, you and I talked about a certain play that Jamar Chase,
yep,
in the national championship game, kind of like Olave in the Michigan game. Olave catches a touchdown to his right on, mm-hmm, on a deep ball, drops it to his left. Not only drops it, hits him in the face.
Yeah.
Right? Can't throw it any better. I mean,
nope.
Help your quarterback out, please. So Jamar Chase, national championship game, early in the – it might have been their first touchdown.
Yeah.
Go route to the right. Yep. Burrow takes a 5-step drop, looks left, freezes the safety,
yep,
whoosh, zips it in there, touchdown. I mean, Jamar Chase had a big game. Late in the game, similar type route to the left. I don't know if it was a go route or a fade or maybe like a – I don't know. But he's open in the corner of the end zone. Joe Burrow drops a dime on his back shoulder, which is where the ball should be thrown,
mm-hmm,
based on where the defender was. And Jamar Chase pretty much whiffs.
Yeah.
I mean, he whiffs.
Yep.
Right? And you and I talked about it because I'm like, what?
Yeah.
How does that happen?
This is the Biletnikoff Award winner, the best in the country.
Yeah. And you came back with a stat, and refresh my memory. I want to say that both quarterbacks in that game, to their left, over 10 yards.
One for seven. It was really bad. It might have been.
Again, if you're listening to this, that game, that you talk about two quarterbacks that are playing at a very high level. 1-for-7 to their left over 10 yards. Hello?
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's...
I mean...
You can't ignore it.
What?
Right? You just can't ignore it.
And so that led me to ask questions like, okay, you know, and when I talked to Mike Mann, I said, okay, I'm curious, you know, is Ja'Marr Chase, does that make him, if I were to guess, I would say he'd be left eye dominant. And he goes, well, I can't answer that because it, you know, relationship with players. I get that. That's fine. Right. So we can only speculate. But it just begs me, as I'm researching this, to ask that question. Is he left eye dominant? Because if he is, it makes sense. Running to his right, it's easy to turn his head. His left eye sees the ball better.
Absolutely.
If he's running left, or you know, he's running down the left-hand sideline, that's his blind spot. Yeah. He's got to turn his head more as the ball's coming, as he's moving, right?
Yep.
That becomes a difficult spot to catch a ball.
For sure.
So, again, I still don't know the answer to that. Didn't get the answer. But I had a very interesting discussion with Mike Mann. And this just happened. He comes from a volleyball background.
Yeah.
So he saw a lot of this in volleyball. Now, he blew my mind. And really, in the sense that there's so much more to this. Like, we're just cracking the tip of the iceberg here. Like, there's this little speck of ice just sticking out from under the water. And underneath the water, there's a mountain of information. So, as we're talking about this, you know, he started throwing terms at me that didn't register scientifically.
Yeah.
So, you know, and for example, as a receiver's running, if its head's moving, and you know this, if its head's moving.
Head stability, yeah.
And I know this from playing college baseball. You know, I was an infielder in high school. In college, I had to hit my way into the Ohio State baseball team, and they had to stick me somewhere defensively. So they tried to hide me in the outfield, right?
Right.
And me trying to catch a fly ball was comedy, really.
Right.
And I had to learn that. Like, I had to quiet my head down.
Yep.
I'm assuming like a receiver.
Oh, for sure.
Right? Because otherwise, if your eyes are bouncing, it doesn't matter. Ocular dominance is out the window. You're going to struggle, right? So, and by the way, I another flashback, you know, playing right field, playing against Michigan, and this guy, it was a real kind of a high sky, really white sky, hits a high fly ball right at me, which is the worst because you're like,
Yeah, all you do is sit there and think.
So I went in, and then I came back, and then went to the left and went to the right, and my feet got tangled, and I fell down.
Oh, no.
And it was like slow motion, like, I'm looking, and the ball's still a mile high, right? And it's coming right at me, and it's like your worst. It's like one of those dreams you have 2 a.m.
Yeah,
like get up, and I couldn't. Like I was frozen.
Yeah,
I couldn't get my feet up, and I don't know if I fell down twice, and the ball lands like a foot from me. And we're playing Michigan, right?
Is that an important one? That's an important game.
Yeah, and let's just say I had a long and our dugout was on the left side of the field, so I had to run by the Michigan dugout, which is bad enough. But in baseball, your own dugout, they're ruthless.
Right.
Like, nobody would look at me. They wouldn't even sit next to me.
Oh, that's awesome.
So anyway, sorry for the story. But so there's a lot of other factors as far as when you're running or, you know, it could be or your hands in the right position, as you talked about.
Yeah.
So many things about what are your eyes looking at as a receiver
before
the ball gets there?
For
you got
sure.
defenders? You know, I mean, again, that's foreign territory for me. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I also, I respect the receivers that they got stuff happening around them, not to mention guys want to take their head off, you know, so, and there, maybe there's, if you're not confident, you might have great eyes, but if you're not confident, you might not catch it anyway.
No doubt.
So, but back to the article, what they didn't get to, and I asked him, I said, did you work with the quarterback at LSU
the Heisman,
last year?
I mean, come on, man. The best quarterback.
And the answer was no.
Mm.
They couldn't get – and again, and you understand this from a college, you know, here they are trying to do the study from the kind of the outside of the program, and the head coach is giving them a little bit of room, right? But you're not getting to the quarterback because it's just you don't have time.
I'll tell you, just from being on a college football coaching staff, I can completely understand why they wouldn't give access to Joe Burrow, but I would find it very hard to believe that things that were discussed in this study and in this process weren't carried over and applied to Joe Burrow. You know what I mean? Like Joe Brady, what he's teaching and coaching and doing certainly could have been influenced by all of this. They just didn't give that company access to him. That's probably the reality, right?
Probably. And again, he, you know, the dude threw for 80%, which, I mean, you know, can you improve on that? That's the best that's ever happened.
Like, yeah, it was the best season of a college football quarterback.
I mean, but I would be fascinated to see to understand, you know, what's his dominant eye,
yeah,
and how he lines up to a moving target.
For sure.
Maybe he's the exception to the rule that he's just so gifted. He's in over all these years, he's personally adjusted, and he may not even be able to define that. He just did it.
Yeah,
you know,
it's just this goes back to Patrick Mahomes. Like some guys do things like innately that you don't realize you're doing.
Yeah, agree. And actually, Mike Mann and I talked about that. He's like, some athletes, you know, they can't really quantify or verbalize how they're doing what they're doing. And I told him, I said, look, I understand that. When you're playing at a high level, you don't want to.
No.
I bet if Mike Thomas was sitting here, it'd be like, you know, when you're playing on Sunday, you're not thinking about this stuff. Yeah. You're just free-flowing it, well, right?
And, you know, just because you can execute something at a high level doesn't mean you can explain it, teach it, coach it. It's two different things.
Correct. And I've used it, and then you start getting into sports psychology. Like, you know, you don't want to be too analytical when you're playing. I have an analytical mind, and my tendency was to get a little of that in a game. I didn't want that. I wanted to be freed up. And the example I used with Mike Mann that we talked today was Ken Griffey Jr.
Mm.
Okay. I had a chance to play with Ken Griffey Jr. for a summer of baseball in Cincinnati for the Midland Redskins. And the guy was 2 years younger than everybody else on the team.
Huh.
Right?
Yeah.
And if he stayed healthy in professional baseball, probably would have been real close to setting the home run record. I mean, he hit that many home runs, right?
Right.
Ridiculously gifted. Didn't spend a lot of time in the weight room. He was just ripped already.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And he did things that none of us could quantify. And he kept it so simple. Like, he didn't care what, you know, defining it. And he never thought about it. He just did it.
Yeah.
And that's the example I use. You know, I use that example when I played. Like, I want to free up like he did, you know, on game days.
Right.
So some guys are just so good, like a Mahomes, like a Ken Griffey Jr. They don't give a crap about the quantification. They just do it, right? But for the majority that aren't as gifted as those guys, you know, this is one of those slight edge things that can make a big difference. Oh, and if you're not aware of it, it's affecting you in a negative way.
Yeah.
So why not turn that around? And that's where, you know, my passion is to get this out as a start to the quarterbacks in the state of Ohio that really aren't aware of this, and the quarterback coaches, because I want to be able to.
I think that's the biggest thing is the coaches, because I, you know, coaching receivers is very different than coaching quarterbacks, and there were so many advanced fundamental things that were being discussed and trained and fixed and all these things by me and the people that I worked with, the support staff and Urban, that it never gets fully vocalized to the player, because you want the player just to play.
Yes.
And so now I'm training Paris Campbell, who's smart enough to handle it, but I'm training him on ocular dominance, on what hand stops the ball and all these things. But we don't have a ton of discussion about why we're doing each drill. He does a drill because he knows that he needs to do the drill, and he has faith that I'm getting him better. You know what I mean?
Right.
I think it's huge. Now, quarterback's a little different. You're usually dealing with somebody that processes a lot more.
Correct.
But I think the education for the coaches as well as the players is huge.
And that's really, as I get a clear picture of what I want to do with this, is I want that information out there, you know, so the quarterbacks can have a, you know, they can eliminate some of the weaknesses.
Yeah.
And so the coaches can coach it correctly. And the first part of that is giving them an awareness that it's even there.
Yeah.
Because they don't know.
Right.
I've had a handful of coaches come out, and most recently, Brian Cross came out. Brian's a longtime coach in the state of Ohio.
Oh, yeah.
I believe he's in Ohio High School Hall of Fame. The guy's great, great coach. And I have mad respect for Brian because he's coached for so many years, and yet he's still a student of the game.
That's the best.
To me, I don't ever want to not be a student of the game.
Nope.
And he came out, and you know, he just wanted to watch me do what I do and learn from that. And he did learn some things. You know what? I learned from him too, just by collaborating and talking information. But in this case, he didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here's guys. I mean, again, most of these guys, they don't know. Mm-hmm. It's not the bad thing they don't know, in the sense that, you know, but it's more like I want to empower them that they can coach their kids correctly. Because what I see in my broadcast duties in high school football, I watch a lot of film and I see a lot of games in the press box, and I see a litany of guys that are not fundamentally sound, and they miss easy throws.
Yeah.
And I always tell the guys that I train, like, you know, if it's 3rd and 5 and the guy's open, which has happened a lot, I mean, guys are open in high school football.
Oh, yeah.
They're open in college football. And if you throw the ball, I say if you throw the ball 20 times in a high school football game, 20, 12 to 14 of those, you're not going to be pressured, and the guy's open. You got to make the read, and you got to set your feet and make the throw. But if your feet aren't set properly and you're out of alignment, then you start missing some throws.
Right.
But if you make all those 12 because your feet were aligned, now you get 8 throws a game that are they're kind of challenging. You might have to move, or you're on the run, or you get pressured. That's where the big boys, you know, that's where you really got to be well-trained in those circumstances. If you start making 4 out of those 8, now you're 16 out of 20.
No doubt.
That's 80%.
That's really good.
That's 80%.
Right.
So, but why not be fundamentally sound and properly aligned? And if you are, you have more confidence. Because what I'm finding with the quarterbacks that we've already been down this road a little bit, we're on the other side of the awareness and we're working on it, is they have more confidence because they're better lined, they're more lined up.
Right.
And with that comes freedom, along with that confidence that they can trust, hey, you know what? I know I'm lined up. I can let it rip.
Yeah.
And in football, as a quarterback, in season, you got so much else going on. You can't be worried about that. And or if your fundamentals aren't sound, you're going to be a mess.
Oh, for sure.
You're going to miss a lot of throws.
For sure.
And your consistency and your completion percentage is going to drop a bunch.
Oh, there's no doubt.
So, having said that, my passion and my goal is to get it out there at first in the state of Ohio and beyond. Because it's obviously beyond that, but you know, logistically, here's where we're at. And there's over 700 schools in the state of Ohio. I mean, there's a lot of people that don't know about this. And I want it out there.
I mean, it's at the highest level of football, so it's rampant.
I can't believe that, though.
It's wild. It's wild. Well, I appreciate you coming on. I appreciate this conversation. It just gives me the itch. You know what I mean? Just I love it. I love developing athletes, and I love the science behind something that so many people are passionate about. And So I will ask anyone that is listening, is intrigued, do two things for me. One, if you have any information or would like to hear more about this, reach out to me and I can pass it along to you, Greg, at zach@menacetosports.com. And also, if you have a friend or have a brother-in-law, whatever it is, that coaches high school football, coaches any level of football, pass this episode along to him and ask him to give a listen. I would love to get some feedback and just gauge interest on not only how much does this audience like this topic, but also people that are in the trenches coaching kids, coaching athletes, coaching men, whatever. Where are you guys at on this topic? Agree? Disagree?
I totally agree.
So reach out if you want to talk to myself or Greg. I will pass along your information, and we can kind of gauge what the interest level is and try to expand on this topic. All right, but I really want to thank you, Greg, for coming in. And if anyone wants to learn more about Greg, what he's doing with quarterbacks, definitely check out his website. It's QBOhio.com, right?
That is correct.
But I appreciate you coming in. Always a pleasure, and I love conversations like this. People that love the craft that they are passionate about, you know?
It's all about being a student of the game, and I appreciate the conversation. These are fun conversations.
Oh my
gosh. And I have talked about this so much, and I'm glad we can finally get it out there.
No doubt, no doubt. Well, I appreciate it. We'll definitely have to have you back on and explore the world of ocular dominance. I feel like we're leaving football and going into like a medical world now.
You're tapping into science. I mean, there's
so much.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot, but we're it's out there, you know?
That's it. Well, I appreciate it, Greg. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
All right. Guys, remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up. BlueChew.com. That's blue, like the color blue. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. If you could benefit from more confidence where it counts, Blue Chew is the fast and easy way to enhance your performance. Blue Chew is prescribed online by licensed physicians, so you don't have to go to the doctor's office or wait in line at the pharmacy, and it ships right to your door in a discreet package. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. And best of all, there's no more awkwardness. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when using our special promo code MENACE. Just pay $5 shipping, and that's it. Again, that's BlueChew.com. Promo code MENACE to try it free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring the podcast. You really have nothing to lose. It's free. Might as well try it out. So hit them up. Check them out. BlueChew.com. Promo code MENACE. Well, thank you for tuning in and listening, and really appreciate your support, and hope everyone's hanging in there during this quarantine time, this pandemic, obviously. Do me a favor, check out our Patreon if you're interested. $5 a month to 10 to 20 to 30, all different tiers, different options. And we're continuing to try to add to Patreon to give you guys, those that want to support the show, want to subscribe, just to give you as much content as you want. And we have a Q&A show that I forgot to mention at the beginning of the show that also will be coming out. It's really... We put them out as much as demand dictates. So when we get enough questions to put a 20, 30 minute show together, we put one out. So if you have questions, reach out on Patreon in our direct messages. Shoot us a question. If you want to call in, that'd be great. We love talking and interacting with you guys. So shoot us your phone number and your time you're available, and we'll have you call into the show and answer your questions, whatever questions you have. So really excited about this. Really excited. The conversation with Greg really got me fired up just about the game of football and development and getting just coaching kids and bettering kids and developing their athletic skill set, their football skill set, and just, God, just blast from the past kind of. But really excited to see how Greg grows with it and really where my research and studies take it. So thank you for tuning in. Reach out. Give us feedback. Zach@Menace2Sports. Check us out on Patreon, patreon.com/Menace2Society Podcast. Still got to get that changed, obviously. But thank you again. Thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope you were entertained. Hope you were educated. And if not, go fuck yourself, San Diego.
That's why I don't read the newspaper. Because it's garbage. And the editor that let it come out is garbage.
Or do you do what everybody else in media does, just create some shit and throw it on the wall and see what sticks, which is what I see happening everywhere.
Where are we at in society today? I'm a man. I'm 40.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my ass.